We'll deal with two smaller topics today, both important, but neither one as large as what's going on with Beisol, what's going on with Beit Shammai. One will be more connected to the Sugya, one less. Let's take a look at the Rush. The Rush has an interesting machlokas in the, we'll call it a machlokas, we're showing you though the Bahag really a drone. At the end of the day, let's take a look at the Rush on the Mishnah. What machlokas the Bahag versus the Balaiter, the Sefer Hitter, one of the earlier Rishonim. The truth is really Rove Rishonim against the Bahag. Not just that the Balaiter disagrees, the Rizma disagrees. Certainly, it's not just after the Halakha. Reading the Torah would disagree. But Rove Rishonim disagrees. Let's take a look at the Rush. So far, so good. Yerushalmi. Yeah. And again, who are the man, the Amar? Yeah. Come on, the Mikol Shehu. Yeah. The Rush doesn't mention specifically if he's talking about Beit Hillel or Beit Shammai. The Carpenter's Panel at the bottom of the page says, it is a leave of the base hill, which is probably correct in the way Moshe Shem have. Let me point out the carbon aether wasn't so clear, but okay, here's really the part of the Rush that's really relevant for us. That talks with Baal Haether. Mamina. Exactly. What you need is the Chiddush Begufo. Continue. Yeah, whatever those things are. There's different types of chairs and other types of furniture. Continue. Have you finished? Exactly. So what's the machlokas between the Bala Iter versus the Bahak? What are the two sheets? What does the Bala Iter hold? The Chiddush has to be in the Rukh Hasukkah. What does Rukh Hasukkah mean? We will actually see a little bit. If you had to throw, what does Rukh Hasukkah mean at first glance? Yeah, what does structure mean?
The wall.
The wall, the sky. Only the sky, maybe the walls. We'll see, that will actually be a major amount of focus, what Rukh Hasukkah means. But the standard shot is that if the Rukh Hasukkah specifically, that is how the Inter learns. That the Chiddush has to be Begulf HaSukkah, that is how the Rush learns, presumably, that is how the Ritva learns, etc. Who disagrees, he says, Afilu, he's the oldest man, who disagrees, he says this, Bahag, 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 Bahag. We have Machlokas, we showed him what the question was supposed to ask. What's behind this Machlokas? What makes more sense? Does Bahag make more sense? The Rov Rishonim. The first place will make more sense? Rov Rishonim, because at the end of the day, what? What text was in Svara? What? The Chiddush should be in the. That's the Mitzvah. The Gufa Mitzvah, the Chorah, the chairs are not part of the Mitzvah Sukkah. They're just, circumstantially found in the Sukkah. But they're not really part of the Mitzvah Sukkah. Very difficult to argue the Shita of the Bahag. The question therefore becomes, what's the Svara for the Bahag? How does the Bahag somehow, what must he do in order to explain the Shita? What does he have to do?
Either say that he's going to put it against the book or the Shita of Bahag.
Yeah, and somehow he's going to have to give some type of Hashivas to the Kisei, to the chair, to the furniture. Maybe call it part of the Gruf HaSukkah, and if not, give it some other type of heightened level of Hashivas. Either one of those approaches, I'm not even sure, although conceptually they're two different approaches, I'm not sure if the other not to mean this or not. Interesting to think about. But at least Why would either of those be true? What chashivas would you give to random chairs sitting inside the sukkah and say, oh, you're my chadish logah? Did you add l'shma to the entire new sukkah? Is that a mitzvah of building sukkah? However we understood the value of being the chadish logah, however it's the value of chiddush, l'chora, it would not have included the shita's ha-bahad. This was a tough problem to solve, but I tried my best to I wanted to share with you the following. It's based upon the Gemara Daf Kavav. The Brice on Daf Kavav has a bin of Hokhei Drachim. Hokhei Drachim, it didn't say they're Hokhei Drachim, the Yom, then what's the halacha? They are Potter by Yom and Chayav by Lila. Pretty straightforward. So far, so good. When you read this braisa, if I were learning this again, that pop up in a vacuum, I would have asked the question. What question might you have asked on this gemara? This is the end of a braisa. What is the day? What question do you have asked? I would have asked, what's the chiddush? I think I actually stole it after that question. Maybe messing me up fast. Yes, on two levels, but it's worth it. What's the chiddush? If I'm holchem drachem bayom, so I'm chachem bayom. And I'm not, and I'm chayv at night. What was the havamina? So I really thought the havamina. Why would anyone have thought otherwise? What I like to do is try to develop a theory which explains the havamina, and I'll go back and get to us now. There's an interesting machlokas between Rashi and the Ram. Rashi and the Ram, when they describe the case of holchem drachem, they're practically word for word the same. If you look at the sugya and daf chavav for a sec, we'll just read it quickly. The case of holchei drachim, it's four lines, chubby lines down, medium lines down, and daf chavav over here. Holchei drachim b'yom p'turim min asukah b'yom b'chsiv b'sukah teshvu k'ein yeshivas b'eso k'shem shekol hashana einu nimna milachas b'derach b'schora. How is the rhyme different? Instead of b'schora, he says Bidrachim. Half call you must have Shane Yom Tov, Lo, it's Rikulum Noah, the cousin of the Milum Noah, and of course the Rach is faithful Darach or something like that. Okay. What's the major difference? What allows one to be parted from the circle? The fact that it's Heshu Kain Tadu. Just like you're sitting in your house, you sometimes leave and you go Holech Padera, so do you have the right halachically to leave your circle and be Holech Padera. However, what triggers that pitur? How much how reasoning do you need to get out? According to the Ram, what do you need to be used to invoke, to take advantage of the Torah of Hokhei Bidar? What do you need, according to the Ram? What? Any trip you want. Little Rabbanim. According to Rashi, what do you need? Code. You need some type of financial reason. And the question we're going to try to discuss is what's behind this machlokas that we're showing. The simple pshat one can argue is there's really no fundamental machlokas. There's nothing deep over here. It's a quantitative machlokas. Everyone agrees you need a pitur. Is it a major pitur or a smaller pitur? Is it just desire? Is it just rutstone? Is it just you feel like leaving? You can leave according to the Ram. According to Rashi, however, there may be a significantly more important halakhic requirement. It's not just a any old desire, but it has to be a significant desire, an important desire, something of real important reasoning, who knows what. Well, therefore, score would be an example of one, but the machlokas isn't really that deep. It's a technical machlokas, it's a quantitative machlokas. How great of a need does one have in order to be part of from? So you're still okay to allow yourself to invoke the Torah of Holchei Drachim. However, there may be a whole other way of understanding what Heshu Kain Tadu is all about. The simple, simple understanding of Heshu Kain Tadu means there's a mitzvah to sit in your sukkah. Just like there's a mitzvah to lift up a lulav, so too there's a mitzvah to sit in your sukkah. There's a mitzvah to put on tefillin, to eat matz, or to listen or maybe blow, whatever it is, a shofar. So too one has to sit in the sukkah. when do you have to say the sukkah? Not every second. When? When you eat, when you drink. There are specific times where you have a chiyuv to eat the sukkah. There's a chiyuv to sit in the sukkah. Most of the time, you don't have a chiyuv to sit in the sukkah. When do you have a chiyuv to sit in the sukkah? When you eat, maybe when you drink, maybe when you sleep. In other words, it's a maisa mitzvah to go into a sukkah and to sit. Otherwise, you're not having sukkah. At the most of us, we eat sukkah. We hang out in our houses all day long, and when it comes time for a meal, we don't do the sukkah. However, one may argue that you get such a mitzvah heishu again to do. Heishu is not a chiddush that you are sometimes chayiv, but rather heishu is sometimes kosher. Meaning, really, the goal of sukkah time is to relocate my central location. It's to move into a sukkah. It's to live in a sukkah. The chiddush is the experience of sukkah. The goal is to relocate my home into a temporary place called the sukkah. The goal is not the specific maisa mitzvah. The mitzvah is not just to be in the sukkah, the mitzvah is to live in the sukkah. The mitzvah is not just to eat in the sukkah. Eating is reflective of something much larger. There's a greater variable, there's a greater agenda over here. The goal is to move into a sukkah, the goal is to live into a sukkah, the goal is to experience life, and something to relocate your central headquarters. Memela, how do you do that? So sometimes there's a chiyuv to do it. For example, shame. But the rest of it, the goal is just to be in a sukkah. Now, am I not kamina? Is it that I'm always chayv in a sukkah unless I leave? Or is that I'm really not chayv, but certain events I have to go in unless I leave? What's the difference? I thought maybe the difference would be how much you need to get into the Torah. In other words, if the mitzvah is a classic mitzvah, if it's a classic mitzvah, just like I'm chayv in mezuzah, I'm chayv in tikkus, I'm chayv in tefillin, I'm chayv in shofar, I'm chayv in sukkah. So what do I need to be potter? Well, I'll start the other way. I'll start with the bigger fish. If the mitzvah is to live in a sukkah the way I live in my house, so what should be the patur to leave my sukkah? Any reason I want that would have caused me to have left my house. The goal is to live the exact same way you live in your house, just in a sukkah, geographically relocate yourself. So when am I allowed to leave? The answer is, whenever I would have left my house. That could be the Ram. The Ram made me think, hey, she was at the tour. There's a brand new chiddush over here, and now they do what's going on with the Ram. Masha in Kane Rashi. Rashi, you believe, is the classic standard mitzvah of sukkah. The mitzvah is to eat the sukkah. Not to relocate to a sukkah, just stop doing mitzvah. And if I'm chayav to eat in the sukkah, I can't just say, hey, I don't want to, I would have done it in my house. Because there's a chiyuv to go in the sukkah. In order to pater from a chiyuv of a chila of the sukkah, you require something significantly greater than just wanting to leave, i.e., something really important. Schora, not just gedrach. And therefore, this machlok is Rashi on the rhyme, although it may be something technical, it may also reflect what another major chakira, which is what is the nature of sukkah all about. Is sukkah just a maisa mitzvah of going in, or is sukkah not just a mitzvah of being in the sukkah, but experiencing life in the sukkah, a mitzvah of living in the sukkah? With this in mind, I think maybe one could understand the havamin. The havamin is that when you're traveling, when you're traveling, your whole chedera, when you're traveling all day long, are you chayiv at night? Well, I could have imagined one could say, of course you're kosher at night. When you're holy, by yom you have the Torah, whether it's Rashi Torah or the Ram Torah, but at night you should also be potter, because at the end of the day, who takes a sukkah along with them? Who travels carrying four walls and pchach, or 2 1/4 wall, 2 1/2 wall and pchach? So of course you're potter afilu balayla, kimash malon what? In other words, I'll put it this way, the havamin is based upon 2 assumptions. The havamin is based upon, number one, this chiddush over here of understanding the mitzvah of sukkah, this new idea that Heishu is the tour, that the goal is to relocate its lechiyot, the sukkah, not only the yod of the sukkah, it's to live in the sukkah. A. And B, therefore, I am hunter at night, definitely before night. This, my friend, is the hafamina. Now the question is, what's the maskana? L'chor, the maskana could be understood in one of two ways. Either the maskana is no, the mitzvah is not l'chiyot basoka, but rather l'chiyot basoka. I'm sorry, not l'chiyot basoka, but achiva basoka, sleeping in the sukkah, etc., etc. Not to geographically relocate my life and lifestyle, but the sukkah, but specific mitzvah after mitzvah, achiva, shena, whatever it is. One can argue that way. Or one can argue, no, ein hachinami, I agree with the original yisod, I disagree with the application. You can work that in yisod. I agree with the yisod, I agree fundamentally to this chiddush of the Quran. However, it only patters me by yom, but by laila, if there's a sukkah right there, I may as well, you know, sleep in. The difference between these two different approaches is going to be how much does one have to be mishtadel? How much does one have to try his best to get a sukkah? According to the first way of rejecting the havamina, that we're rejecting the entire yisod, that we're learning, it's in a way, I would assume Rashi would learn, at least, maybe the way Rashi would learn, that there's a mitzvah of achil of a sukkah, there's a mitzvah of shein of a sukkah. If that's the case, when you are traveling by yom, you're potter. When you're traveling by laila, what should the halakha be? You should have to go out of your way as best as you can to get a sukkah. By the way, who says that to Farish? Magen Avraham. However, if you learn the maskana the way that I want, in a hinami, you can accept this chiddush that the mitzvah is not eating in a sukkah, drinking in a sukkah, but rather the mitzvah is to experience life in a sukkah, to live in a sukkah, to relocate your house and live. Literally, teshvu ke'ein taduru. That the mitzvah only exists when it's ke'ein taduru. A sukkah teshvu. Only, you know, the mitzvah is only teshvu ke'ein taduru. Only when. The mitzvah of sitting in the sukkah is only existence. It reflects the way you live your life. If that's the case, what would the halacha by night be? You ain't a chinami. You're really chayav by night, but only if there's a sukkah right there. But if there's no sukkah, then you don't really have to. And that's how the Lavush learns. Or in other words, if I had to break down this machlokas, you know, I would say the Magen Avraham is right here, the Lavush is over here, and the Havamina is over here. I mean, the Havamina is clearly based upon this chiddush, this new way that Teshuva is a tour, not a chayav, that Teshuva tells me when I am chayav in sukkah. And of course I'm butter at night. Kimash Malan, that's true, but, you know, you shouldn't really try. If there's a sukkah right there, you should at least, if it's right there, you should do what you said, so what you got to lose. Or Kimash Malan, you fundamentally misunderstood the Havamina, it's significantly different. Kimash Malan, the mitzvah is, you know, like Rashi would learn, Achila, Shtia, and Sukkah, not literally. In any event, this whole background information I'd like to use to try to apply and send it to the Baha'i. You with me? Sure, you with me? There are two ways of understanding the Maskana. Either fundamentally the Havamina is right, however, you're still high up a little bit because of the Sukkah right there. Not total, or the Maskana is.
Like, Rashi is saying that when he's looking at this Mishnah Gemara, the whole interrupt, the title is, first, you would have thought that you wouldn't be high, because that you would have thought to learn the topic way Ramba, but the Maskana of the Gemara is, that not when Ramba reads it, but
exactly.
How does the Ramba read it?
The Ramba reads the Maskana, if Ein Hachi Nami really remits the same thing. So the word the Havamina is the same according to everyone. The Havamina is when you travel, the Tishmuk came to do it means travel the way you live. When you leave your house, you never really take along a sukkah with you, so of course you're Papa. Kimash Malan what? Kimash Malan, the entire Havamina is wrong. Nothing about the Havamina is correct. We reject the whole thing. That's what the Magen Avraham learned along the lines of Rashi. Or Kimash Malan, fundamentally the Havamina is right. just not that extreme. Don't apply it all the way through. And Achinami, the Lebush says, if you're Polish, Vederach Bayom, you're Pater Bayom, and even the Laila, really, you're Pater unless there's a Sukkah right there. You're only Chayiv if there's a Sukkah right there. If one's the Mother of Rum, you have to bring the Sukkah from outside.
And Mother of Rum, you want to bring to put a drink of Rashi.
The Mother of Rum, I think so. The Mother of I'm only looking at this. There may be other Rishonim else, maybe, you know. But this is definitely an approach to explaining Rashi and the Ran. I think it's the approach to explaining the Mother of Rum. The Bush. I think so. According to Rashi, in order to pater you from a specific maestro mitzvah of eating in a sukkah, it requires a tremendous amount. It requires a really good reason. You have to be traveling for skora, not just any reason you want.
Why don't they explain for a
night? No. When are you allowed to be holy in the first place and invoke the Torah? I mean, if you just want to take a 3-day seal over the sukkah, I'm Rabbi Horn, I'm going to go hike 3 days in the north. I'm going to take bread while I'm eating in the sukkah.
Really
had I said, if hiking is a good enough reason to call Holech Bederach and say your pastor, it could be no. Holech Bederach means you need a business trip.
Rashi is really giving the tour of Bayom.
Correct. When are you allowed to book the tour of Bayom according to Rashi's code, according to the Rav, even hiking? Yeah, 1, 2, 3, quickly, one.
What's the business trip over here? Saying that he needs a business trip, and that it's like a really strong reason?
Yeah, I don't know, meaning are you allowed to do business on Chol HaMoed, like maybe have some Aruba, whatever the hell else on Chol HaMoed, I don't know. But the point is that there's some really strong reason.
Okay, I guess I make it stronger and
more
strong
stuff. How strong is it? Yeah, one way to just a quantity of how strong it is, and number two is how strong it is reflects the qualitative difference as to what the Torah of Volchid Rosh in his honor, how I understand the Drosha of Peshit Ukein, Naduru. Yeah. You were never to read, Josh.
Yeah, what? The way you're going to read
Rashi
and the Ram by saying, Rashi and
the Ram are in agreement. Who?
The
way you're
wrong.
He quotes
Rashi
and the
Ram
here?
He's, Because, he said Rashi and the Ram. Because we've been looking for the difference between Rashi and the Ram.
After that, look at the Magen Avraham again. I don't remember
him. Okay, well, whether or not they agree on it, you also do agree. And you all the way agree with the Rasha.
It could be if the Magen Avraham does quote the Rana, I'll look it up again. I remember. It could be if he does quote the Rana, it would be just the quantitative way of learning the Machlokas, which is the first Machlokas Rashi around, not the qualitative one. I'm open to that. Yeah.
When people look
this far
up, the Rana and the Rasha could say,
I mean, why would you be, the answer is, I guess, because if you kind of travel and your house is somehow theoretically made it along the way, it was right there, you'd be hyped to go in. But since most of your house doesn't travel with you, you're fucked. A sukkah, again, it's a total theoretical situation because your house won't move, but a sukkah which can move, it does move, you should really go into it because right now it's right there. What? According to the Lebush, you just have to, if the sukkah is convenient, then just go right in. If it's not, you don't have to be matriarch yourself. According to the Magen Avraham, you have matriarch, but there's a real fear. I think that my focus is good for this like you. In any event, based upon these two different studies, there may now be two different ways of looking at the mitzvah of sukkah. How might this be helpful for the Baha'i? How might this be, relevant? Why is this whole mahalach that I was developing looking at based upon above? Why might this be helpful for the mahalach, the chat? Can put it together? Okay, do you have a question you're asking? Oh, you heard me say it. Okay, good. Anybody want to say this to
you? If you learn like the Ram that it's a positive for you, then it will have make sense because it's not like you have specific obligations to have a sukkah. It's that
like the Rana Machai. And if you learn like the Rana, that patient with Machai, patient tells me when to be in a sukkah, the mitzvah is not being in a sukkah, the mitzvah is living in a sukkah, the mitzvah is experiencing life in a sukkah, the mitzvah is relocating my house in a sukkah. If that's correct, it's a lot easier to understand what?
Sure.
The chairs. if you want to understand how chairs are a hitch, it makes a lot more sense to understand how moving into a sukkah or changing the sukkah doesn't require changing the guf ha-sukkah. According to Rashi and the Ramagan of Ram and the Mahalik and the Mitzvah is a Maisa by Maisa Mitzvah, then what is the Maisa? Sitting in the sukkah. What is the Chetzah HaMitzvah? The physical sukkah around you. However, according to the Ram and the Lavush, the Mitzvah is living in the sukkah. The Mitzvah is experiencing life in the sukkah. If that's the case, one could imagine the chairs changing the Guf HaSukkah. That's what I thought of when I saw this Bahag. And therefore, just to lay out exactly what's going on in the Bahag. Okay. That may be what's going on in the Bahag. Just to lay out what's going on in the Bahag. Before I lay out what's going on in the Bahag, I want to say one more little truth, which is something that, if you look at the Bahag carefully inside, you may make the following observation, and the Binyan Shlomo points it out, as well as Shaul Yaakov points it out during Seder. There's a good point. The Bahag never really made his point on the Sukkah Yeshana Sukkah. The Bahag made his point in a different context, Sukkah Nevva, the rice that we saw yesterday, which was, if you build a Sukkah, make a Shefiyah. If you already have an old Sukkah, and you're going to have a Shodah, make a Shefiyah. If not, so make the Shefiyah when? Make two on a whale sukkah. That was the right kind of my mentor. Right? In other words, the Gemara didn't talk about the sukkah yishana there, but rather in the context of Shehafiyan. Therefore, in order to understand the way that the Rush learned the Bahag, I think there are three assumptions. And you'll see you can disagree on any one. I think there are three assumptions to the way the Rush and the way the Itzur, for that matter, quote the Bahag. Number one is that the mitzvah sukkah is not, in this chiddush pshat, the mitzvah is living in a sukkah. It's not a maisa for maisa thing. The mitzvah is to relocate your house. The mitzvah is the experience of living in the sukkah. The mitzvah is geographically relocating yourself, number one. Number two is that Therefore, when it comes to a chiddush could be, therefore a chidushin, therefore a filu, like this. Therefore, a filu, efshar li kadesh, b'isa'oth. So much is certainly what the Bahag said, and the and the Rush carries it over to say, therefore, Chiddush by Sukkah Yishana counts. It's Hofech, it transforms into a Sukkah Chadasha. Therefore, Shayach, therefore, Shayach Le Chadesh. Shabbat. In other words, not the kashrus of Yishan, it's the love of Yishan. Okay. These are the three assumptions that I think the Rush makes while talking to the Bahag. The Bahag still makes the first two, and the Rush presents it to the third. Rishonim, and all the Rishonim reject the Bahag, at least the Rush version of the Bahag, can argue at one of three levels. Either they can argue you fully misunderstood this mitzvah. The mitzvah is not a mitzvah of living in the sukkah, but it's a mitzvah of eating. It's a mitzvah of sleeping. Shane at the class of mitzvah. Who would probably argue with the Bahag for this reason? Rashi, probably the Magen Avraham. They don't argue with Beresh, but presumably those who accept that would argue for that reason. Alternatively, you could say, Ein hachinami. I really agree with this huge yesod based upon the Gemara and Chavav that the mitzvah is relocating your house to a sukkah. However, what? So what? It's true, the sukkah is your house, but still, Ein Achinami, mitzvah sukkah is to live in the sukkah. But what? But chiddush has to be in the book. In other words, although I agree to the Rashi's, this yisod or more built up for the Bahag, I don't think that the yisod, I agree to the yisod, I don't agree to the application of it. And lastly, one can argue that the Rosh misunderstood the Bahag in the first place, as the Binyan Shlomo does. He says that the Bahag is only shayach in the context of Shabbia. In other words, Chidush Chidush Bekisao Ozer L'Shehefi Shehefianu Aval Lo L'Sukah Yishan. Now what I like to do, really we have four possibilities on the board. You have number one is the Rosh is Bahag. You have number two, we'll label them. This is Aleph up here. This is Bet over here. This is Gimel over here. This is Dalet over there. We've discussed and we understand clearly the Svaras for Aleph and for Bet. Let's just work out the Svaras for Gimel and Dalet. And don't try to read the Rush back inside so you can get a textual observation to come out of there. We'll move on to the next subject. With me so far, how are we doing here? You good? You're here? Have a good one. Good? Good? Oh, are you doing good? Okay. So the Svar for the Bahag, we laid out three major assumptions. A, that the Chiddush and how Sukkah works. B, it manifests itself even in shares. And C, if it's true by Shach Yanu, it's true by Sukkah Yishan. One can argue fundamentally that the Bahag doesn't get off the ground. Like maybe Rashi, the mitzvah is not a mitzvah of living in the Sukkah, it's living, it's eating in the Sukkah, it's drinking in the Sukkah. One may argue, like I'm going to suggest, possibly the maybe Ram and the Bush may, or at least those who would subscribe to this part of the theory, I don't know if the Bush said in the video, so I don't know what the Ram said, but one can say, and every now and then I agree that the mitzvah of Sukkah is the experience, but yet nonetheless, he can't bring in share. What would this argue for that? How could you accept the principle but limit? This book's talked that out. What would the Svar be there? You want to both spend any time? Sam, you get a question to ask me? Yeah? Sam, you get a question to ask me? Yeah. What would somebody say? You know, I agree to the principle, but I have to pass no way. You know, we want to say, Rose? In other words,
nothing you have to say doesn't make it the Kaddish.
Right. In other words, even though the mitzvah of Sukkah is for me to live in the Sukkah, the way you do Kiddush, leave this one for now. The way you do Kiddush is what? How must you do Kiddush? You can even agree that the mitzvah is to live in the Sukkah. But the way to be mechadish is not in the living experience. The chiddush is the chesed. I want you to do like this. In other words, Enoch Hinami, the mitzvah to live in the sukkah, but it requires the chesed of hamitzvah, not just the part that was according to the Bahag, it's anything that plays towards the experience of the chiddush. According to this mahalik, maybe the Ram, maybe the Mabush, whatever, the mitzvah maybe living in a sukkah, but it's still linked enough to the chiddush that it's gotta be a chiddush in the chetzah. Why would that be? Rose suggests. Maybe because lishma. Lishma would be a great reason to.
I mean, that has nothing to do with how you do mitzvah, don't you?
That's a good question.
But yeah, the way you come to mitzvah is violating the sukkah. That doesn't mean meaning that
you like it, you don't like it.
You don't like it. That's not why.
Right, no, just because the way you live in the sukkah does not have to be outgrowth of what the mitzvah is. Correct. Questions? Yeah. 1, 2, 3, we're going to get the questions in a second. Yeah.
Kiddush all about the mitzvah. Our being the highest is because you want, it's before the mitzvah, right?
The kiddush is how do you make this sukkah either lishma, or how do you make the sukkah mitzvah sukkah? How do you change this sukkah? And the answer is, well, I agree that mitzvah is living in the sukkah, but the change may have to be in the chetz of sukkah, not in the mitzvah of sukkah, not in the living spirit. You don't hear. I think it makes sense. We'll talk about that more when I do. Who else is next? I forgot. Do more research. I'm open to do more research. Alright. Okay, last one. What's the smart for the Binyan Shlomo? The Binyan Shlomo believes that when it comes to making a Shafi Yadu, they're what? You can bring in chairs. There you can bring in chairs, right? However, when it comes to bringing in chairs, there you make mechidish in the that allows for shabbiyah. But when it comes to sukkah yishana, maybe not. What would this be for there? Why should a chidish of chairs be good for shechiyanu, but not be good for taking a sukkah yishana into sukkah kosher sukkah? Yeah, that one more time. The Shekhiyanu you make is on the living in the Sukkah, therefore a Kiddush of chairs is good enough. While the Lishma, or while the Kiddush of Sukkah Yishana is not on the living of the Sukkah, but on the Chef of the Sukkah. That's how you have to do the Chilkin. Yes, correct. In other words, the Kiddush of Sukkah, in other words, the Shekhiyanu is the living of Sukkah, and therefore, as long as you have something regarding the living of it, are you bringing your chairs? That's legitimate. The Shekhiyanu is on the Maisa Mitzvah you're performing. Masha Enkin, the Chiddush of the Sukkah Yeshana, that's not a Chepta, and therefore it requires a Chiddush in the Chepta, not a Chiddush in the Maisa. Okay. I'm good for you. I'll figure out the questions, then we'll, Fair meets, really. Yeah. Say what?
If the
Shekhiyanu is supposed to be made by Yaakov, the living of the Sukkah,
then how can you just, I don't get that, shouldn't you have to actually live in the Sukkah of that?
Maybe this will help a master who does. A master who does will definitely support the point. What does the Gemara in Daf Mem Vav say if you do not make the Shekhiyanu when you build it because it's too old and you do not be Mechadish Bodavar? When do you make that Shekhiyanu? The first night. Why? Because that's when you're living in the Sukkah. In other words, the Gemara Mem Vav is talking about making Shekhiyanu while living in the Sukkah, or the mitzvah of Sukkah, or yeshiva of Sukkah, whatever it is, it's the living in the Sukkah. If that's the case, I understand that the Shekhiyanu could even be supported by chairs and couches and stuff like that, because that's when you're doing the chash, living in the Sukkah. And if you don't add in new chairs, then the melech, when you actually sin the Sukkah and actually live in it, you make the Shekhiyanu. Mashek in the Sukkah Yishana, we're not dealing with the mitzvah of yeshiva, we're talking about whether or not it's a kosher Sukkah, or at least kosher lechachila Sukkah. If that's the case, we're not talking about the Shekhiyanu and the yeshiva of the Sukkah, we're talking about the adding in the Shmar, whatever adding in, but the kashrus of the Sukkah, in which case it requires that from the Chepta. Is that helpful, Sammy, or no?
Yeah,
there's no,
there are any other examples somewhere where you can use it?
That's a good question. Where else does Chiddush help for kashrus of the Chepta mitzvah? I don't know, it requires more thought. I don't know if you know that. I don't know, it's a good question. Who is number two? What's the number two story?
I just want to make comment on number two and three. We never say that those things aren't. They're just, the way we're explaining them now, they're just logical outputs to other assumptions. For number two, you would say that the assumption that Shekhiyanu is a result of Shakyamuni not really on it, what we said. So that's why I feel that Sarvatthana is tricky, therefore, that and if you disagree that the Shakyamuni, it's just a sharp, that if you disagree that Shakyamuni is unliving of it, then you're not going to further this principle past that point. And of course, then for number three, the point is, what we said is that if you disagree, if you agree that Shakyamuni is on living on the sukha, but you say that the Kadosh Bodhavar is not in regard to,
The environment is the environment. So that's the Baha'i. Those are the Baha'i's presumption. I think all of them you could argue upon, you know.
I'm saying to say that right, what assumption number two includes is that Shakyamuni is on the living.
Okay, good.
And
this
number three
is Shakyamuni. And this is Shakyamuni is the same as Sukha. Also smaller, this is even smaller than the biggest topic, the side topic. It's actually a nice topic, but it's really not relevant. And I read the Gemara, I thought the major thing was the issue our Gemara deals with, which is Shita's basic shaka. Then the next major topic, I'll tell you what Shita's basic hill, but the short hill isn't allowed. These are more side issues. You wouldn't have even known this Machlok is the Bala Inter in the Rush, if you didn't look at the Rishon. You wouldn't have even thought of that. And certainly this will be a Gim Rashi. What's the Maharsha's view of Gim Rashi, which uses as a kasha against the base Yosef? Let's take a look at Marsha. It's fine. What's the Marsha of Kashi, yeah? I'm sorry? Yeah, but a little more than that. Meaning, let's take a step back. There's a halacha called Shloshim Yom. Shloshim Lamed Yom Lifnei Hakar. That's a halacha. Where is it supposed to be Sholem, Midarshim, etc., etc.? This halacha is set in the context of what? That's what the Gemara is talking about in that as well. One can read this Gemara, and what's the initial question one might want to ask if you read this Gemara? Is it true by Dafka Pesach? Or maybe one can argue, Lav Dafka, this is really true by all holidays. How did the Beis Yosef learn? The Beis Yosef is crystal clear about the Beis Yosef. That's the Beis Yosef right in the top. The Marsha and all the effort to point out, that seems to be against what? Against Rashi. Now, the easiest way to solve this problem is to say what? At the end of the day, the Beis Yosef was enough of a Rishon that if you wanted to disagree with Rashi, or think maybe this Rashi is not killed, whatever, you can say that there's a Machlokas. There's a Machlokas between the Beis Yosef versus Rashi, and there's that Mishka Perlich. It's not Rabbi Kiva versus Rabbi Kiva. Maybe it's the Beis Yosef, but it's Machlokas. I'll have to figure out if that's the case. What then is behind this Machlokas? There are, however, two or three others in the that the Achronim have. To answer this kasha of the Marsha, again, is the Din of Hinami, one option. What else might one argue? How else could you answer up this kasha? Anyone see any other Tirutin? Think you may have a Tirutin? Well, how that? They said it might not be against Rashi.
Yeah.
What?
They are. They are. They are. Are there other similarities?
No, yeah, I think they come back to the end of Shlosh Darshan. Yeah, Rose, what do you want to say?
It's not like enough on the right side
So it's along the lines of the Bach. So the Bach, right? There's really a halacha dafka by Pesach, but there's a minhag that people do it by the other chagim as well. And therefore, maybe Rashi, when he says that you're sholem with the yanei at hakat, it doesn't mean the Torah halacha. In other words, Pesach, there's a real halacha, but by Sukkot and Shavuos, it's just a minhag. That's in the background. We'll start at the bottom. Two more tibbutz I'd like to share with you guys. One is what Rebbe Eliyashiv says. Anyone see Rebbe Eliyashiv inside? So I don't know.
No.
If not, what do you want to say?
Maybe what is that, there's a specific week by Pesach that you have some period before it, and we establish a standard period of 30 days that every clock has a period before it for different reasons, but we establish a precedent to begin that period 30 days.
So that was the problem why they up not against Rashi or just
it
to be
It's all dropped by Ryan because this idea of the halacha of the 30 days against Pesach for whatever reason is got from Pesach. By other
clocking
they're
out of Pesach.
What are
the parts then?
I'll
get back to the very simple plan. That's exactly what the parts are.
There are 30 days before Pesach. But what I'm saying is that the idea is that the other Chagim had their own unique reasons for having a certain period beforehand. But the reason that, but they set a precedent for making it the length of that period, for making it 30 days.
So really, this scenario that comes with this didn't set itself with that by Pesach. But the reason, what is there by Sukkot? It's a different thing.
Well, Beis Yosef says that.
Right, and Beis Yosef seems to reject that other thing, no?
Sorry.
He's only rejecting it, like, I mean, certain things. So what are those things? I'm going to try to fill it in a second. Rebbe Eliyashiv wanted to say, if you notice the Gemara Pesachim, what is the Gemara Pesachim talking about? It's actually not Lufo Kiddush. But he's not But, based upon the carbon Pesach, that the first day of Pesach, Moshe got up and told everyone about Pesach Sheni. How far is Pesach region from Pesach Sheni? 30 days. Then Rebbe Eliyashiv was talking about the carbon Pesach. If it's talking about the carbon Pesach, if it's the halacha about carbonos, what conclusion should one draw if man has that? There's no longer any reason to darshan about carbonos if man has that. L'chora, the entire halakha falls away, and that's why the Beis Yosef is passing if man has that. Well, Rashi is talking about Meshach. But that's correct. There's an unbelievable conclusion that comes out of Rebbe Eliyashiv, which is what? That if man has that, there no longer is Shlosh Miyom. That's what he says. What conclusion should you draw practically based on that? According to Rashi, even according to, at least according to Beis Shammai, even according to Beis Hillel, if there's no longer Shlosh Miyom, so even a Sukkah Chadasha Bizman Hazeh should require outright Kavana and not Stama Lishma. That'd be an unbelievable conclusion.
Wait, why
is Rebbe Eliyashiv being spelled that out? You take a look at the Sefer, I don't know. He said that maybe it's only a Gomi Beis Shammai spoken told the Shlosh Miyom Dafka for the Karbanos. This man has said is no Karbanos, this man has said no Shlosh Miyom. And that's what the Beis Yosef says. I'm not sure that's not the problem with Beis Yosef. I didn't even know I was found the problem. I didn't have to solve the problem. Why? Most of you guys have the new Gemara. They put together this little thing called Hagos V'chidushim. They kind of put everything together, all the guys in the back. There's someone named Moshe, and Yudhei Nayin, and Rashash. They put all these things together, and he had an unbelievable chiddush. Right over here on Daftas. And after long lines, I think what Stoll was saying, he says, really, there are two different halachas. One is halacha of Pesach, one is halacha of Sukkot and Shavuot. The halacha of Pesach is a din of Shoalim Vidarshin. The halacha of Sukkot is just Shoalim. In other words, on Pesach, everyone has responsibility to ask, and you don't have responsibility to answer. But on Sukkot and Shavuot, it's just the people's job to ask. You don't really have to nourish these types of things. You don't have to publicly answer people's questions, obviously. They don't have to publicly start nourishing the halachas. Funny answer, right? At first, I thought it was a funny answer. Take a look at Rashi over here. Why might this be very nice? Is there any textual support to the sheet of Rabbi Yud Chet Slav again? Yeah? See? Who is it? Rabbi Yosef, Chanina, Leva, Maizosh. Okay, what did Gedolei HaAchronim presume? I don't know anything more than that. He just told me the name right now. He's got a hint on it. I mean it. In any case, what's the deal? What's his deal based on? Where does this come from? Read the Rashi inside. Give me a chance. Read the Rashi inside. Look at Rashi over here. Why would anyone want to make a deal between dashing versus show up? Look at the Rashi inside. What words seem to indicate that is correct? Yeah, Shif, what do you want to say? Rashi over here leaves out dashing. Rashi said, look at Rashi, Shif, read the Rashi. So, Kishana, go ahead. No, sorry, Bishama, post with. Right? Hey, with the show a bit of the cock, it's shocking that Rashi left out darshaning. Is it not with halachic? Says, this Akron over here. That if it is, there's a difference between show and darshaning. Now, the real question is, why does any of this make sense? What's the logic? What's the rhyme or reason? Why would anyone say, hey, if it's a machlokas, what's behind the machlokas? Why should it be dafka by Pesach, and why should it extend to other holidays? What's the svara, if there is machlokas, for Rashi, and what's the svara for the Beis Yosef? Number two, if the Bach is right, why is there a difference between Pesach and how these dinhugs develop? We'll take a look at Rebbe Yosef here for Shem as well. And number four is, for this last achron, is the most shocking, what's the svara for what? Why Pesach would have two halachas, both people have to ask as well as have to be doraged, and for Sukkot and Shavuot, people have to ask, but the Rabbanim don't have to get up and publicize the din. After all, if people are going to start thinking about things, wouldn't it make sense to publicize the din? In order to answer these questions, what issue has to be dealt with properly? And this is a very important ethnological point. I'm just going to bet guys roll their answer. What major issue has to be dealt with? If you want to find the answer, besides thinking, what major thought would you have? What would you look into? What would you investigate? Where would you do your research? How can you train yourself to develop the answers to these types of questions? Yeah? That would definitely be one of the things I want to look at, the difference between Pesach versus Sukkot and Shavuot. But that's the second most important thing. What's the most important thing? Not just the source, but the idea behind it. What is the goal of Shloshim Yom Lefnei HaChag? What is the goal of that din? What's its agenda? If you can think of more than one possible agenda, well then maybe you'll fit into the Machlokes Rashi and the Beis Yosef. Maybe you'll be able to explain the Bach, the Rebbe Yoshim. We don't talk about what everyone decided to present on Sunday. And this last fourth Akron over here, who's Machalik between Pesach, where there's both, and Sukkot, where there's only one. Can anyone think of two possible understandings of why Shloshim Yom Kol Machag has any value? What are we trying to do? What's the Hakira in this? So again, what are the Svaras? Even just one Svara. I'll take one. What is the goal of it? And by the way, here's a great methodological tool. If you were the Rambam, where would you place this halacha, in which sefer? You wouldn't put it in Hilchos Nedarim. Where would you put it? And that's like a great way of helping to yourself to think of a hakira. How do I classify this halacha? Is it in X, is it in Y? It requires more thought. If you were the Rambam, where would you place this din of Shloshim Yom? Where could you put it? One option would be? What? Zmanim or Hilchos Chagim, Zmanim, Chagim, etc., etc. Alternatively, where could you put it? Hilchos Talmud Torah. Now the Rambam doesn't place it anywhere, so it's tough to figure out what he has in mind. The Rambam doesn't quote it, which is again amongst that part anyway. But where's the Shulchan Aruch in the Torah place? And even if it's beyond a geographical location, one can already begin to ask a longish question, which is what? How do I understand this halacha? Is it a halacha about what? Talmud Torah? Is it a halacha about educating people about halachos? Or is it what? Some type of yahachana l'chav. Is it some type of preparation for the chav? L'may nafkamina. So if anyone saw, the first thing we're going to do Sunday morning is take a look at nafkamina to this chav. Who cares? Is it a halacha? Is the goal to teach Torah? Is the goal to prepare for chav? You'll see many nafkaminas in the chav. Number two is we're going to try our best to reapply it back over here, which will take into account explaining what it will do. This will be seven. First, we have to catch up what Rabbi Eliyahu said. We'll take a look at what Rabbi Eliyahu said. Number two will be nafkaminas to this chavira, and number three will be the yisum over here to figure out what all these things are. This should take us not so long. Don't spend that much time on this Sunday morning. We'll do this in about 15 minutes. And hopefully most of Sunday, we will really focus on the next toast for Divrei HaMaskel, Minayin La'atzei HaSukah, Shasur M'kol Shiva. That's a large sugya. Probably takes a day and a half, maybe even a little longer. And then we'll finish up. I think hopefully all the issues on this, we'll get to the Bava Gemara about Lishma, Mitzvah, Bava Vela, etc., etc. Just briefly, regarding tomorrow. People should be aware, tomorrow's Thursday, we're doing Chazara, just in terms of the schedule.